This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس وما يعقلها إلا العالمون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ضرب الله مثلا عبدا مملوكا لا يقدر على شيء ومن رزقناه منا رزقا حسنا فهو ينفق منه سرا وجهرا هل يستوون الحمد لله بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to the next parable, which we find in Surah An-Nahl. And here we have actually two parables back to back. And so verse number 75 is one parable, and verse number 76 is the next parable that we will be covering of Surah An-Nahl bi-idhnillah. And both of these parables are about the same thing, about false gods who are powerless. The inability, the powerless nature of false gods. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 75 of Surah An-Nahl, Allah presents a parable. A slave who is owned and powerless to do a single thing, and a free man to whom we have provided good provision from us, spending from it secretly and publicly. Can they be equal? هل يستوون؟ Praise be to Allah. الحمد لله. بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون. Praise be to Allah, but most of them do not know. And so this parable that Allah mentions here was actually mentioned after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated the power of false gods, and how Allah nullified and negated their ability to provide for those who worship them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the previous verses, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ رِزْقًا مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. And they worship, meaning the mushrikun, they worship others besides Allah, those who do not possess for them any sort of provision, any sort of rizq from the heavens or from the earth. Meaning, they worship false gods, whether they are idols, whether they are saints, angels, whatever they be. Allah says, they worship these false gods, and yet these false gods do not possess for them any rizq, any provision, not from the heavens nor from the earth. Nor can they do so. وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. Nor are they able to provide any provision, any rizq for them. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, negating any similarity between himself and these false gods, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So do not compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anyone else. Do not present parables, examples of Allah to your idols. Because those who worship others besides Allah, they worship them thinking that these false gods deserve our worship, because they will provide for us, they will give to us. And so they are comparing their false gods to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can provide for us. And so that's why Allah says, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, Allah knows and you do not know. And so we should not claim about Allah what we have no knowledge of. That is what Allah is saying here. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, Allah knows while you know nothing. Our knowledge is limited. And so we should not claim about Allah who we have no knowledge about. We should not claim about Him that which we have no knowledge of. But rather, we should listen to what Allah has told us about Himself. And so that is why, then, right after that, Allah presents this parable. So it's as if Allah is saying, don't present parables about me, but rather listen to my parables. And then here Allah gives a parable, and that is verse number 75 of Surah An-Nahl. And so here in this parable, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares the one true God, Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the false gods. So Allah mentions what the true God should be and the reality of the false gods. And so, as for the one true God, then Allah tells us that He is like a master who has a slave. And so Allah is the master and the owner of everything. He provides for His slaves at every moment. He provides for us secretly and openly, day in, day out, however He wishes, however He wants, He provides for us. And so He has full ability, full control, full freedom to provide, to give. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for us, His servants, His slaves. So He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master and the one who is providing continuously, day in, day out, both secretly and openly. As Allah says here, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا عَبْدًا مَمْلُوكًا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَمَنْ رَزَقْنَاهُ مِنَّا رِزْقًا حَسَنًا فَهُوَ يُنْفِقُ مِنْهُ سِرًّا وَجَهْرًا. And so Allah mentions two men here. One is a slave who is powerless, and the other is a free man who basically, he is a master who owns slaves, and so he provides for them. And the first one is the slave. So now we come to the slave. The slave who is powerless. This is the example of false gods. And so a slave who is owned and has no power himself. A slave who is owned and has no power himself. This is what Allah compares false gods to. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا عَبْدًا مَمْلُوكًا لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. And so, a slave in this world, he is owned by his master. Does the slave have the ability to do anything on his own? Does he have freedom to do whatever he wants? He doesn't even own anything, but rather he himself is owned. And so it is the master who tells him what to do. As for the slave, he has no ability, he has no control and freedom to do anything. And so that is the parable of false gods. So these idols are themselves owned. They are possessed by their worshippers, and they are powerless to provide anything. So how can you make them partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping them besides Allah, even though there is this huge difference between the two? And elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to this powerless nature of these idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. Do they associate with Allah those who create nothing, and yet they themselves are created? Where are your minds? How can you associate as a partner with Allah an idol, or even let's say a human being, a saint? How can you associate that with and associate that false god as a partner to Allah, when that false god does not create anything, but rather he himself is created? And Allah says, وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ لَهُمْ نَصْرًا وَلَا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَنصُرُونَ. And they, the false gods, are unable to give them any help. Those who worship idols or other false gods, they think that they will help them. Allah negates that and says they're unable to help them. Nor can they help themselves. These false gods are unable to help themselves. They're powerless. And this is the point. This powerless nature of idols was the very thing that Ibrahim alayhi salam had realized and used it as evidence against his people, when he went and smashed the idols. And he did that to show to his people that, look, if these were truly gods deserving of worship, then they would have defended themselves. They're unable to help you nor themselves. And that is what Allah says here, وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ لَهُمْ نَصْرًا وَلَا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَنصُرُونَ. They are unable to help the worshippers, and they are even unable to help themselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the verse by mentioning that most of them do not know. Most of these mushrikun who associate partners with Allah, they do not know. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, هَلْ يَسْتَوُونَ. Are they equal? Allah is asking a rhetorical question. Is the master, who has full freedom to, you know, use his wealth as he pleases, is he like a slave who is powerless and has no power to do anything? هَلْ يَسْتَوُونَ. Are they equal? Of course not. Alhamdulillah. So praise be to Allah. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most of them do not know. What does that mean, that most of them do not know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the verse by saying that most of them do not know. Not that they don't know the vast difference between these two opposites mentioned in this parable, but that if they truly knew, then they would never have committed shirk. So the parable is clear. The difference between a master who has full power to do what he wants and a slave who has zero power to do what he wants, the difference between these two is as clear as the night and the day. No one will say that, you know, we don't know what is the difference between the two. It's clear. Everyone knows the difference between the two. But Allah is not saying they don't know the difference between the two, but rather what Allah is saying here is that if they truly knew, then they would never have committed shirk. Because this is the example of shirk. This parable is the example of your shirk and your false gods that you are associating with Allah. So if you truly knew the difference between the two, then you would never have committed shirk. And so it refers to the knowledge that translates into action. It refers to the knowledge that translates into action. And so it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that a person who commits shirk, he has no knowledge whatsoever, even though he may think that he is very knowledgeable. And likewise, anyone who has any knowledge of this deen, whose knowledge does not translate into action, likewise, it's as if he has no knowledge. It's as if he has no knowledge. Because knowledge must translate into action. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, concerning the scholars and the people of knowledge, that they are the only ones who truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the only ones who truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if a scholar does not fear Allah, then it's as if he is ignorant and he doesn't have any knowledge. And so we have several lessons that we learn from this parable. The first is that just like there is no similarity between a master and a slave in this dunya, likewise, there is no similarity between Allah and false gods in terms of uluhiyyah. In terms of al-uluhiyyah. Al-uluhiyyah means that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. And so, no matter what people claim, no other gods besides Allah deserve our worship. And so, just like there is no similarity between a master and a slave in this world, likewise, there is no similarity between Allah and all false gods in terms of worship, in terms of who deserves to be worshipped. And so Allah alone deserves to be worshipped because of who He is. Why does Allah deserve to be worshipped and no one else deserves to be worshipped? Because people will come to you and say, well, you know, I'm free to worship whatever I want. Who are you to say that my God doesn't deserve my worship? We say that it's simple logic and common sense that tells us why only Allah deserves to be worshipped. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped alone simply because of who He is. He is the Rabb, the Creator, the Provider, the one who brought us into existence, the one who has full control of everything in existence. That is why He alone deserves to be worshipped. As simple as that. The second lesson that we learn from this parable is that those who commit shirk, no matter how intelligent they may seem to be, they are the most unintelligent and the most ignorant of people. Don't tell me that, you know, people in certain parts of the world, they have produced all kinds of technology, whether it be in China or in India, and look how smart they are, look how intelligent they are, but yet they are idol worshippers. They worship idols and associate them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is that these are the most unintelligent of people, the most ignorant of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of their reality in the Akhirah. These same people, what will they be saying in the Akhirah? وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعَقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. They will say, when they are in the hellfire, they will say that if we had listened, meaning listened to the message from Allah, if we had truly heard it and listened to it, and or أَوْ نَعَقِلُ, or if we had truly, if we truly had intelligence, if we truly had intelligence, then we would not have been from the inhabitants of the hellfire. Today, on this day, while we're in the hellfire, we would not have been here if we had listened and if we actually had minds, if we actually had intelligence. And so they themselves will admit that they were unintelligent and that they were ignorant. And so, not that these people did not have minds to think with, or that they did not have intellects. Yes, they have intellects and they have minds, but it is limited to this worldly life and benefiting themselves in this worldly life, in this dunya. And that's why Allah admits in the Quran that they have knowledge. But what do they have knowledge of? ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They have knowledge of the apparent of this world, of the dunya. As for the akhirah, then they are heedless. And so when it comes to knowing the truth about Allah and about what He has sent, then these same people who seem to be intelligent in this worldly life, when it comes to the truth about Allah and Islam, they close those same minds. They close those same minds and those intellects. And they decide to turn away. And so this is the first parable that we have here in Surah An-Nahl concerning the true nature of false gods.